Wilmer Municipal Utilities Commission. Today is Monday, May 24th, 11:45 a.m. We'll start out with appointing a secretary in the absence of Commissioner Boog. Can I appoint Commissioner DeBleek again? You willing to accept that?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. And please rise for the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, any changes to the agenda? If not, everybody sees that we have new CDC guidelines, and General Manager Herron, maybe I can have you run through real briefly what we're doing with staff and how we're handling that.
All right, thank you, Commissioner Mattern. When we received the new guidelines from the CDC, our management meeting last week, we talked about what do we want to do at staff level regarding the guidelines and how closely we want to follow. The conclusion of that discussion, basically we're going to follow the CDC guidelines. If you're vaccinated, you do not need to wear a mask. If you're not vaccinated, you still need to wear a mask. We're also going to continue our disinfecting processes and protocols that we have in place, basically use an area before you leave, you disinfect it. So that's where we're at staff level. We put it on the agenda for the commission to talk about their comfort level with the commission, if they want to follow the same protocols or if you prefer to do something different. So thank you, Commissioner Mattern.
Commissioners, any questions, concerns, comments on the changes? Everybody's comfortable with that?
Do we need to make any kind of recommendation? Or?
I don't believe we need to, but if you'd like to, we sure can.
I just would concur with staff that we just follow the CBC recommendations.
Okay. Everybody's comfortable with that? I'm seeing heads nodding.
I do have
Mr. Weber?
Yeah. What changes, if any, would take place with the reception area for customers coming in?
Same thing. If what do you mean, for our customers or for staff?
Customers.
Oh, I don't mean to talk about the customer area that much, but it would probably be the same thing. I don't know. Did we put up? Anybody know?
Andrew, did we put anything up on the door? If you're not masked, you have.
Yes, we had put signs up on the door that if you're not vaccinated, you're still required to use the last for distance.
Actually, how do you say that? I think we have one on all our doors.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, that's what we have.
So, yeah, if you're not vaccinated, Commissioner Weber, it's an honor system, but you're required to wear a mask.
Out of curiosity, do we have masks available for the public out front
in the lobby area?
I believe they. When I spoke with Kevin last week, he was going to put some out there when we changed our
guidelines. Okay. Thanks. We're all good with the consensus there? Additional thoughts, Commissioner Weber?
And then with the crews that are outside, any changes there?
Same thing. If they're vaccinated, they can go without mask. If they're not, they need to wear their mask yet.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. We're good there. Thank you. Next on the agenda is the approval of the consent agenda, which consists of our minutes from May 10th and bill payments in the amount of roughly $1 million. General Manager Herron, I'll have you run us through the bill payments.
Thank you, Commissioner Mattern. There's just one I want to point out on page 3. It's highlighted, David Church and Associate. The reason it's highlighted is due to the fact that we are coding it to our water treatment plant, which is a capital cost. So I wanted to point that out as we go forward. And as a commission, we're going to see that each month highlighted. We can, otherwise I will drop the highlighting on that particular line item. It's for David Church. It's his lobbying services that we have going on there. And that's why we're putting it towards that water treatment project, because the services all are related to that project, at least for now.
Any questions? Now I'd entertain a resolution for approval of the consent agenda.
So move.
Second.
We have a resolution and a second discussion. All right, roll call, please.
Commissioner Johnson?
Aye.
Mattern?
Aye.
Weber?
Aye.
Magnuson?
Aye.
DeBleek?
Aye.
That passes, thank you. All right, next on the agenda, we have the power plant insurance renewal consideration. Ms. Brecker?
Okay, we met with North Risk Partners to go over our commercial insurance renewal proposal, and we do have two options to consider regarding the power plant building. And option one is to insure the power plant building, estimated 50% replacement value. This also includes $220,000 replacement cost coverage on SCADA, switchgear, and batteries. The option two is to have no coverage on the power plant building, have the $220,000 replacement cost on SCADA, switchgear, and batteries, and a $5 million debris removal for the power plant. So the savings to select option two over option one was $57,218. And that would be our recommendation, would be to go with option two.
Any questions?
We'll have liability and coverage, won't we? If someone was over there and got hurt, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's basically the replacement cost.
Yeah.
It's a replacement cost on that building or actual cash value. This past year, last year when we did renewal, we dropped it from a replacement cost to actual cash value. And at that time, we were still, the plant was still running, was still functional. We still had a rental boiler there. We still had staff in there. So this year, we're proposing that we just reduce it to more cleanup costs in the event there's some sort of catastrophic event. And then the equipment that's inside that plant that's still working, as Andrew alluded to, or SCADA and switchgear and stuff, that we have insured at cash value.
Any additional questions? If not, just to codify staff's recommendation for option two in the insurance plan, I'm going to offer a motion that we go ahead and proceed with option two, and I'd look for a second.
Second.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Further discussion? All right, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? That motion passes.
Commissioner Managers, for clarification, in our insurance renewal policy, is referred to as option B.
Thank you. All right, next up, we have the Missouri River 2020 Year in Review video. This one's a little longer than what we used to get in for our regular updates, but it's got some good information. So, General Manager, anything that you wanted to cover before we start the video?
Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Not really. Open to answer questions after the video, but the video, rather than, you know, the commission taking part in a full annual meeting update, here we will see the highlights of what Missouri River, as their organization, provides power, what they're doing, and what they're doing to prepare for the future needs of their membership. So with that, I'll ask Mike to tee it up. Anyway.
Last year started off much like any other year, but things changed dramatically in March when the advent of coronavirus altered almost every aspect of our lives. And while 2020 was marked by uncertainty and change, the commitment Missouri River Energy Services made to delivering affordable, reliable energy and energy services was a constant on which our members could rely. From expanding our generation mix to include new, clean, renewable resources, to securing federal hydropower contracts long into the future, to issuing a significant power supply refund to all 61 members, here is a rundown of how Missouri River maintained strong relationships with our members and kept power flowing and the lights on in spite of evolving conditions caused by the pandemic. Creating a cleaner energy future has been a top priority of Missouri River for many years. In 2005, our member power supply resource mix was 50% carbon-free, but by 2020, our members averaged an 84% carbon-free energy mix. And in the last 15 years, Missouri River has also reduced its carbon intensity, or the amount of carbon dioxide emissions per kilowatt hour, by 72%. We accomplish this by decreasing our use of carbon-emitting resources while increasing our energy sales to members. In 2021, we will be increasing our use of clean energy resources with the addition of the Red Rock Hydroelectric Project, which was brought online for initial testing in August and reached substantial completion of all work in late October. Red Rock was watered up for wet commissioning tests last summer, but low water levels pushed final testing to the spring of 2021, when water levels are projected to be higher. Red Rock is a retrofit of the existing U.S. Army Corps of Engineers dam on the Des Moines River near our member community of Pella, Iowa. To celebrate the start of hydropower generation at Red Rock, Missouri River hosted a video dedication ceremony in September, when 14 speakers offered remarks on the project, and a virtual tour of the new facility was provided to all who tuned in online. Even though Missouri River's power supply portfolio already contains significant amounts of renewable and carbon-free resources, we kicked off our Bright Energy Choices program on January 1st, 2020. Through this new green energy program, members and their customers can purchase renewable energy certificates, or RECs, which are proof that electricity was generated by renewable, carbon-free facilities, such as wind and solar farms. RECs come with a cost that is billed as a green energy add-on or premium, but Missouri River members and their customers have embraced the ability to support clean energy. In 2020, 16 members joined the program. For the past 12 years, Missouri River has purchased the electrical output of the Marshall Wind Farm to meet the needs of our members. In April 2020, Western Minnesota Municipal Power Agency, which owns and finances Missouri River's power supply resources, purchased the wind farm outright, enabling Missouri River to utilize this renewable resource for many years into the future. Located near the member community of Marshall, Minnesota, the wind farm has a generation capacity of 18.9 megawatts. The purchase of this project is expected to lower the cost of this output for Missouri River and our members. Another way Missouri River meets member needs without building power plants or making power purchases is through our Bright Energy Solutions program, which helps members and their customers use energy wisely. The program provides cash incentives for the installation of equipment that saves energy and money, increases productivity, and helps protect the environment. In 2020, incentives for several new types of equipment were added to the program, including an electric vehicle charger rebate. Missouri River also purchased a plug-in hybrid vehicle, or PHEV, that members can reserve for ride-and-drive events to promote electric vehicles. As part of its effort to create a cleaner energy future, Missouri River joined other electric and gas utilities to become one of 18 anchor sponsors of the Low Carbon Resources Initiative, or LCRI, sponsored by the Electric Power Research Institute. The initiative targets advancements in low-carbon electric generation technologies and low-carbon energy carriers. Maintaining financial stability is a cornerstone of our organization. And in March, the Missouri River and Western Minnesota boards took advantage of historically low rates to execute two interest rate swaps totaling approximately $85 million. Under current laws, Western Minnesota is unable to advance refund debt on a tax-exempt basis, and the swaps allow Western Minnesota to lock in interest rates without issuing debt. As noted, Western Minnesota owns and finances all of the power supply, transmission, and other projects used to serve all 61 of Missouri River's member utilities. 24 of the Missouri River members from Minnesota are also members of Western Minnesota. Western Minnesota bonds are viewed favorably by the financial community. This past year, Moody's Investors Service affirmed its AA3 rating with a stable stable outlook of Western Minnesota's power supply revenue bonds. Fitch Ratings also affirmed Western Minnesota bonds at AA- with a stable outlook. These ratings are largely based on our low-cost power supply, resource diversity, sound financial policies, and the overall credit quality and financial strength of our members. Missouri River experienced lower energy sales last year due to the effects of the pandemic, but lower operating costs exceeded the reduced revenues and enabled the Missouri River Board to authorize a $17 million refund to members in December. Refund amounts were based on power supply bills each member incurred from August 2019 to July 2020. The refunds did not include transmission costs or power supply received from other sources, such as Western Area Power Administration, or WAPA. Even with the $17 million member refund, Missouri River ended 2020 with a net margin of $27 million. Missouri River also announced that there would be no increase in wholesale power rates for 2021. Our rates are consistently about 5% lower than the average of 20 other wholesale providers in the region, and we expect our competitive power supply rates to remain stable through at least 2025. While no increase is on the horizon for S1 rates, the board approved a time-of-use wholesale rate structure that is planned for implementation in 2023. The time-of-use rate schedules will be based on the time of day and the season that electricity is used. Wholesale time-of-use rates provide an opportunity for members and potentially their customers to manage energy costs by shifting usage to lower-cost periods. The provision of reliable power supply to our members is key to the mission of Missouri River. In 2020, we were able to further that objective by upgrading the IT infrastructure and climate control software at the Watertown Power Plant in Watertown, South Dakota, and at the Exira Station in Audubon County, Iowa. Another way the organization enhances reliability for both Missouri River and our members is through reserved capacity agreements, or RCAs, that utilize local generating plants as backup resources. Essentially, these are contracts Missouri River has in place with 19 members for the use of approximately 153 megawatts of member-owned generation. Last year, the board reviewed draft revisions to extend the RCAs to 2052 and invited other interested members to participate in the program. As with most other things, COVID-19 had a significant impact on the day-to-day activities of Missouri River and our members in 2020. Staff monitored the many actions taken by state utility boards and commissions related to the pandemic and advocated for members on issues of concern, such as suspension or prohibition of bill collection and disconnections. On another matter, Missouri River staff also worked to complete service agreements that extend long into the future for members with WAPA allocations. For more than 50 years, WAPA has served 59 of our 61 members by supplying clean, reliable, cost-based hydroelectric power from dams along the Missouri River. This past year, Missouri River assisted those 59 members in completing new administrative services agreements with WAPA that extended the arrangements between Missouri River, its members, and WAPA through 2050. In support of WAPA, Missouri River also advanced approximately $18 million in 2020 to Western States Power Corporation, which is comprised of 23 utilities from 10 different states. Since 2001, Western States has advanced more than $576 million to WAPA and other agencies to help fund maintenance and repairs at federal dams and facilities throughout the Upper Great Plains region. Missouri River has contributed more than $156 million of that total. These advances are returned within 2 months in the form of bill credits to Missouri River. While 2020 presented many challenges, the services provided by Missouri River continue to provide the benefits members have come to expect. Throughout 2020, Missouri River's technology our hosted services, and smart grid technologies. 10 members are currently enrolled in our Advanced Metering Infrastructure, or AMI program, while the Coordinated Demand Response program has 14 members. To streamline the installation of AMI, we finalized our AMI turnkey installation service, using a third party to quickly install AMI so members could start seeing the benefits sooner. The Proactive Maintenance Program offers a variety of technologies to prevent the failure of equipment in member and customer facilities. In January 2020, a new rapid imaging vibration service was added, which detects, pinpoints, and measures the extent of vibration in objects or structures. Missouri River also expanded our internal cybersecurity efforts as an added measure of reliability. And we're working on a framework to offer cybersecurity services to our members in an effort to help them safeguard their organizations. For more than two decades, our distribution maintenance program has provided member utilities an option to contract with Missouri River crews to maintain their electric distribution systems and other related services. To date, six member communities and one associate member have contracted for the service on a full-time basis, while eight other member communities receive supplemental and project-based assistance. Safety of Missouri River employees and the public has always been and will remain a priority. And in 2020, Missouri River reported no lost time accidents or OSHA violations. A changing of the guard took place on the Missouri River and Western Minnesota Boards of Directors in 2020 as a number of longtime members stepped down or announced their retirements from public service. The changes started in January when Bill Schwand of Moorhead, Minnesota and Dave Shelkoff of Valley City, North Dakota stepped down from the boards and from positions with their communities. Guy Swenson of Barnesville, Minnesota was appointed to replace Schwann on the Missouri River Board, while Valley City Mayor Dave Carlsruth was appointed to replace Shelkoff on the Missouri River Board and also elected as the board's fourth vice chair. Travis Schmidt became general manager of Moorhead Public Service and automatically filled Schwann's seat on the Western Minnesota Board, as the organization's bylaws require a representative from its four largest members to serve on the board. Throughout last year, the leadership of Western Minnesota's board changed significantly. In 2020, Scott Payne of Worthington was elected president. Guy Swenson of Barnesville was elected vice president. Ted Cash of Alexandria was elected secretary. And Rob Wolfington of Benson was elected treasurer. More changes to the Missouri River Board in August were prompted by the retirement of Brad Rose. Rose served two separate terms on the Missouri River Board, most recently from 2006 until 2020, a term during which he was the board's secretary treasurer. He also served as vice president of Western Minnesota's board from 2008 until his retirement. Ted Cash, general manager of ALP Utilities, was appointed to fill the remaining term of Rose on the Missouri River Board. And Steve Lehner, general manager of Watertown Municipal Utilities, was elected as the new secretary treasurer of the Missouri River Board. Lehner has served on the board for 12 years. On the Western Minnesota side of things, David Shelkoff, who was hired as the general manager of Marshall Municipal Utilities, assumed the director's seat vacated by Rose in accordance with agency bylaws. The transformation of Missouri River's board continued as 2020 came to a close when board chair Harold Skiba and first vice chair Don Johnston both announced their plans to retire as of January 1st, 2021. Skiba, from Sioux Center, Iowa, first joined the Missouri River Board in 1975 and has served as chair for the last 34 years. While effectively retired, Skiba remains active in the role of chair emeritus to help with the transition facing the Missouri River Board. Johnston, of Flandreau, South Dakota, has been a board member since 1977, serving as the first vice chair for the last 25 years. To fill these leadership roles, Vernell Roberts was elected as the new chair of the Missouri River Board. Roberts is the general manager of Detroit Lakes Public Utilities in Minnesota and has served on the Missouri River Board since 2015. Steve Meyer of Brookings, South Dakota, was elected as the new vice chair from that state. He is the executive vice president and general manager of Brookings Municipal Utilities and has served on the board since 2006. Two new directors were appointed to fill the seats vacated by Skibout and Johnston. Murray Holstein, utility manager of Sioux Center Municipal Utilities, will serve as a director representing Iowa members. John Prescott, city manager of Vermilion, South Dakota, will serve as a director representing South Dakota members. Missouri River Energy Services would not be where it is today without the guidance of Schwant, Rose, Johnston, and Skibout. And on behalf of all Missouri River members and staff, we'd like to thank each for their loyal, dedicated service. As always, there were also significant developments for several individuals involved with Missouri River at the membership and staff levels. Three officials from member communities were recognized for outstanding service during the 2020 annual meeting. Carol Laumer of Wilmer, Minnesota, was presented with the Morris A. Topaski Public Official Award. Named for a founding member of Missouri River, the award honors policymakers who not only serve their local utility, but who also promote Missouri River and public power beyond the borders of their community. Laumer has been active for much of the past decade with Wilmer Municipal Utilities and Missouri River. Chuck Warner of Woodbine, Iowa, and Cindy Rascazzi of Marshall, Minnesota, received Missouri River's Community Leader Award, which honors local officials for many years of service to their communities and public power systems. Warner has served on the board of Woodbine Light and Power since 1991 and is currently the board's chairman. He is a regular attendee of Missouri River meetings and has also served on the Woodbine Main Street Board of Directors since 2015. Rascazzi has served on the Marshall Municipal Utilities Commission since 2015. She has also been extremely active in her community as a member of several nonprofit and charity boards serving Marshall and Southwest Minnesota. Missouri River's president and CEO, Tom Heller, was recognized in June with APPA's Mark Prasan Leadership and Managerial Excellence Award, which recognizes utility or joint action leaders who steer their organizations to new levels of excellence and inspire their staff to excel. Heller has been president and CEO of Missouri River for 28 years and also serves on the boards of the Electric Power Research Institute and the Transmission Access Policy Study Group. Five staff members were recognized by the Missouri River Board and their co-workers with Power Awards, Missouri River's highest form of employee recognition. Director of Operations Austin Hookman received the award for his effort to negotiate and close on a set of long-term capacity purchases with substantial savings. Facility Services Coordinator Devin Houselog was recognized for his work on the Missouri River Headquarters Remodel Project, which was finished on time and under budget. Director of Human Resources, Tammy Crum, received the award for her work related to coordinating Missouri River's COVID-19 safety protocols. Director of Transmission and Distribution Services, Terry Wolf, and Senior Transmission Engineer, John Weber, received the award for reaching settlement agreements with other electric utilities regarding their filings with FERC that resulted in refunds on transmission rates. 2020 was a year of challenges, achievements, and rewards. Missouri River will continue moving forward to build upon these achievements, to meet and overcome ongoing and new challenges, and to continue our efforts to make our members and our organization grow even stronger.
Any questions? Mr. Heron, anything additional that you wanted to add?
A couple things, maybe be noteworthy. First one that they talked about was the carbon-free portfolio that they have, which I just a reminder to the commission that here at Loma, we are 97% carbon-free, and the commission, as of the first of the year, firmed up that by purchasing the RECs for the remainder. So technically, our power is considered here in Loma power-free, which is something to be, something that's very notable. Not that many communities can claim that. A lot of our industrial customers have goals, their own goals of being 100% renewable. So this helps them out with that. The refund they were talking about, Andrew, I don't remember the exact dollar, but the refund was like $300,000, a little over $300,000, I believe. Do you recall what the number was? Okay. Thank you. I didn't mean to put you on the spot. But yeah, it was somewhere around $300,000, a little over $300,000 was our that refund that they were talking about up there. And time of use rates, they're looking at it. They set the date on the time of use. We talked about that earlier in the prior month here, but in our next rate study, we'll be looking at the value benefit for our customers for time of use. Do we want to go there or prepared to go there? What would they look like? As Missouri River said, their time of use rates that they looked at when they're restructuring for the members are not looking at generating more revenue. They're trying to keep it revenue neutral, but continuing to move down that path. We are somewhat on a time of use rate already. We have different demand charges. We have four different tiers of demand charges already. So that was the introduction of time of use rates already. Now they're just going to expand that into additional time structures for different rates. So more to come on that. So with that,
John,
a few key things there that directly are tied to Wilmer.
A question on those time of rate use. Is there anything that we have to do with our meters or to prepare for that? Or is that, do we have all the infrastructure in place to build?
Good question, Commissioner DeBleek. We have the AMI system, an automatic metering infrastructure in place. When we talked with Dave Berg, our rate consultant, on our last, we talked about standby rates, what would that look like, and what would time of use rates look like. And at that time, we were rolling out our time of use, and he said we do not have any information yet to really establish that. So the one piece that we are missing to establish that would be the MDM, which is the meter data management system, which takes our AMI data and breaks it down into 15-minute blocks. So at staff level, actually, we were just talking about that about 2 weeks ago. It's in our capital project to move forward with that. The commission approved for us. So we are going to be having that discussion at staff level on rolling that out here either this summer or this fall. And with that piece there, then we'll be, hopefully we'll be gathering the information that we need for our next rate study that'll be coming up in or the beginning of 2023. So we're hoping to have that rate study completed by mid-year, and then at that point in time we'll have discussions on what do we want to do with our rates, what kind of tariffs do we want to set for distributed generators, things of that nature. So more to come on that, but for the most part we are prepared for time of use rates, and we get our MDM in this summer, we should be there.
Further questions? If not, we can move into the general manager's report.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Matter. Typically at this meeting, on the outline educational topics that we refer to, there would be our mid-year strategic plan update. However, being that our strategic plan is in progress of being updated, we are not giving a progress report on our old plan. However, the limited number of items that were left in our existing plan have been or are being pulled forward in our new strategic plan. And our strategic plan will be presented to the planning committee this week, Thursday, at our planning committee meeting, and which at that point in time will be incorporating any additional last items that the planning committee feels would be appropriate, and then it'll be brought forth to the commission for approval. So planning committee, we had Commissioner Weber and Commissioner Erickson at one of our strategic planning for input on the initial. So what's in the strategic plan, they are somewhat familiar with, but they are not familiar with the final plan yet. So that information will be reviewed at our meeting here shortly. Hopefully, we'll have those items out. I don't know if Beth will make it today. If not today, it'll be tomorrow morning. Those items will be pushed out. So. Other than that, strategic, our labor committee, there's a couple other items on there. We'll be talking about our clothing policy, our succession interim planning agreement that we have in place and how to address that. That was a follow-up from the commission's annual self-review at year-end. They asked that we review our interim succession plan that we have, so we'll be talking about that at that meeting, and then our exempt employees' pay equity and compensation comparison. So that's what will be coming up on Thursday at that meeting. And then planning committee, we have received our 90% design of the water treatment plant. We reviewed that with our engineer, Corolla, so we will be setting that meeting up within the next couple of weeks as well. And on that meeting, we'll just be providing an update for insight to the planning committee of what pay equity consists of, what it looks like, why do we have it, who's all part of it, and the employee survey, and possibly we'll be talking about our NIST software program in addition to our water treatment plan. So with that, I entertain any additional questions that the commission may have regarding our operations here.
Thank you, John. Any questions?
Did you say planning committee Thursday or labor committee?
Labor.
Should be labor.
Labor.
Okay.
I'm sorry, labor.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I think I was missing something.
You're off the hook.
It's labor committee.
Okay.
Sorry about that.
Any other questions?
And you're in the process of scheduling the planning committee?
Planning committee, yeah, will be with the water treatment plant. We were waiting for the water treatment plant 90% review. We got a couple other items for the planning committee, but that's the driver is our water treatment plant.
Okay. Anyone else? All right. Any other business to come before the commission today?
I have a question.
Commissioner Johnson.
So do we, and maybe you covered this, do we have a budget, like if I would want to go to Brainerd to this thing, do I know if there's money available? Do I pay my own, or how does that work?
Excellent question, Commissioner Johnson. We budget, we do have a budget for commissioners to attend conferences. Typically, we budget for 2 to 3 commissioners. We budget either for the mayor or the liaison from the city council to take part in it. Typically, we have the APPA that starts in the spring of the year, and then that or MMUA legislative, depending on the year, one or the other, maybe before the other one, but we have those two in the spring of the year. And then we have our summer MMUA conference, which I think is the one you're referencing. And then we have our Missouri River annual meeting. So we do budget for 2 to 3 commissioners and or somebody from the city council, the mayor, liaison to attend as well.
So. Okay. So if there's, because I think you were going to one of them.
I'll be going to Florida? The... no, I decided not to attend that one. I think there was still talk about clothing restrictions and that stuff down there yet.
Okay.
So in addition to that, Commissioner Johnson, the one that Commissioner DuBlee was talking about, that would be the annual APPA conference.
Yeah.
We do budget for 2 commissioners to go to that as well. We allow for it in our budget.
Okay.
So.
We'll be attending the MMUA one in August.
You will be?
Yeah.
Okay. And maybe one, how many did you budget for? I don't need to go, but I just thought.
Well, you're more than welcome to come. In fact, I would encourage you to come if you want the commission to come to that meeting. Yeah, we budget for at least 2 commissioners to go to each one of those, and sometimes we don't have any, and others we might have 3 or 4 commissioners.
Okay.
So overall, we kind of track that and we budget accordingly, so we have enough dollars to cover.
And I just let Beth know?
She has contact me, you know, take care.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the question, Commissioner Johnson, and we do encourage that involvement, so there's certainly room available for that. Any other business to come before the commission? Not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So move.
Second.
We are now adjourned. Thank you.